Except here we're working with men who are, for all they know, HIV negative. In particular, African American men. I think most people are well aware that in March of this year, CDC essentially declared HIV a national emergency for African Americans. Clearly, men are underserved in this epidemic, heterosexual men in particular, and this is a population that's very much an important opportunity for us, not just to reduce incidence among men, but also among their female sex partners. So this is a clinic-based intervention, and it's very much in line with the concept of being brief, because so often when the two things, public health and the medical systems, begin to interface, you have a clash of worlds. You know, most of us that know the HIV prevention literature would say, if you can get effects, and by effects I mean condom use and preferably reduced rates of STD acquisition, if you can get effects based on an 8 or 10 or 12 hour program, you're doing well. The concept of achieving an effect with something that lasts less than an hour, if you're trained in behavioral science, seems a little bizarre, yes? And when I first came up with this idea, I thought, I don't think this is possible. Actually, what we did was we reduced it down even below an hour because the medical people thought an hour is excessive. You're going to spend an hour with somebody? They couldn't believe it would last that long. Why do you need a full hour to change behavior? Well, we used 35 minutes. The trick, as I'm about to show these slides, to keep in mind is we really narrowed our population. If you think about, these are young men, 18 to 29. And think about condom use. Think about two extremes. Never use them, don't want to, never will, the whole laggard kind of scenario. At the other extreme, I use them every time, I never miss, I use them correctly from start to finish, there's never a problem with slippage or breakage. And certainly then in between these two extremes, you have all the gradients. And what so much of the past research that I've done with colleagues has shown is that the middle is rich with opportunity for intervention. Because you have people who are well-intended. They've already crossed the big hurdle. The big hurdle being the motivation to use condoms. The idea of saying, yes, I want to be a condom user. But that middle is littered with people who don't always translate that motivation into reality. And when they do, there's often partial condom use, meaning the condom is not used from start to finish as sex. It may be put on late and or taken off early. And of course, there's all kinds of errors that can occur with breakage and slippage, etc. So the goal in this brief program was not, and this is real important to say, to work with people at this extreme to convince them to make that leap into using condoms. We began specifically only with men who had recently used condoms. We didn't want to bite off more than we can chew. We wanted to be able to work with people who'd already made that psychological leap to improve their quality of condom use in the middle of this continuum. And at the same time, our underlying theory was that if people are good at something, if they acquire skill and it becomes a natural part of sex and not some artificial, rehearsed, and even awkward part of sex, then they're much more likely to repeat the behavior and therefore to use condoms consistently. And it sort of then cascades, and you would hope if condoms are used correctly and consistently, you would find a reduction in the incidence of subsequent STD infection, which is in fact what we found. So let me go through now and more formally talk about the study with these slides. So this is a randomized controlled trial funded by NIMH. Again, it's a brief intervention. The This is taking place in Louisville, Kentucky. We showed this poster to men. And of course, I think most of you know that slide. That's the CDC slide that really was the impetus for declaring HIV an epidemic among African Americans. And again, that HIV epidemic is mirrored by STDs, chlamydia and gonorrhea being two big examples. And you can see the four-digit numbers there for African American men compared to their white counterparts. The nice thing about working in clinics, in my eyes, is that dissemination research is all laid out. We have STD clinics all across the country. They function every day. I'm not a medical person, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but often the ethic is treat them and street them. There's simply not a lot of time built into the medical system for education. And from a public health perspective, I think that's a missed opportunity. So again, this is that continuum that I mentioned, and it was our intent to move people towards the right, but not to begin with that complete lack of condom use at the far left. So this whole idea of translation research, which is very popular now, dissemination, is something I think that needs to be tackled up front, rather than come up with the challenge after the efficacious intervention is created. I think it needs to be something we look at before we create the intervention. So 35 minutes seems like a painfully skinny intervention. But if it can work, then I think our dissemination research will really be streamlined. I think Scott mentioned the system's moving slow. I'm pushing this button and it's barely moving. Here were the principles of the intervention. Again, you can see this was one-on-one. The first one, critical. These are men who have been hassled all morning. The waiting time in a publicly funded clinic is not unusual, 2 to 4 hours. It's about options, it's about practice. We had penile models, unlimited condoms. The idea that condoms can feel good was quite foreign to men. We provided them with all types, brands, sizes, and different lubrications they could use, because after all, why did people have sex, at least men in this study, to have fun? And if condoms become antithetical to that goal, then clearly one thing or the other has to give, and it's not going to be the sex. So we did a lot of formative work about brand and size, fit and feel, etc. The system is just as slow as pond water this morning. I think we're stalled on this slide. There we go. We got some findings here. All of these men were recently diagnosed with an STD. Folks, I think that's a critical point to make. There is a vulnerable window there. Diagnosis kind of erodes those walls that people have. It won't happen to me. These illusions of invulnerability are very difficult to permeate when you're working with people in the general public. The nice advantage then of clinic-based research is after diagnosis, that vulnerability wears thin, and it gives us this opportunity, again, for behavioral intervention. So, right to the findings here. This is a 6-month medical records review. You can see the control group there in blue. First of all, just a comment. This is not unusual in publicly funded clinics across the country. The concept of reinfection is tremendous. If you think about the reports that you'll see periodically about the number of cases annually of STDs that occur in the United States, notice it's always cases, not people. Because if that were reported as people, it would be very difficult to track or even understand. It's about cases. So we had 50.4% reinfection for the men who essentially received standard of care, meaning treat and street, as opposed to the intervention men, 31.9. So you can see what we were able to shave off here. And if you think about that in cost of chlamydia, for example, at $160 per patient, the economic analysis on this alone is very important to look at. But we think then, more importantly, back to HIV, about the synergistic effects that can occur making entry and exit of the virus more likely. So clearly, the advantages relative to the prevention of HIV here are tremendous. So, moving ahead, we had supporting findings with condom use. Here you can see the colors are reversed, but again, intervention in the blue. So we want to see a higher number, and we in fact did, 72.4. The system is forcing us to go slow and digest the slides and not rush. And we also had a demonstrated variable here. We had men apply condoms to models, and that skill was rated. And again, you can look at the intervention group in blue and see this is a score basically ranging from 0 to 6. They did quite well compared to control. That's not so much of a mystery, simply because the control men didn't receive the education or practice. This one was, I think, very important. And this is not something that we dwelled on in the intervention. We really dwelled on the whole idea of condoms can fit and feel good and be part of sex without taking away from pleasure. But for some reason, we don't know why, but what the heck, we'll take it. We measured it. It's there. We found a very nice effect with sex partners. Again, if you look at intervention men, this is a 3-month retrospective recall, mean of 2.06 partners compared to 4.15 partners among the control men. So fairly stunning there, which probably, although I have to do some more analyses to really be sure, probably drives the effect on STD acquisition at 6 months. And then UVS, unprotected vaginal sex. And so rather than just using the last event as the recall period, this is for the entire 3 months. And again, you can see the comparison here between the intervention men, a mean of 12.3 acts of UVS, as opposed to 29.4 acts of UVS among men in the control group. So my sense is that going through the numbers here, and I really don't want to dwell on this, is more of an academic exercise. We did multiple imputation. We did complete case analysis. We went through the whole consort procedure to analyze this data. But I do want to dwell on, just for a minute, the univariate odds ratio estimate relative to the STD acquisition, because that is the big finding here. And you can see that estimate is 0.46 with a fairly tight confidence interval. So the question becomes, what happens to that estimate when you subject it to a multivariate analysis? So let me just skip through the next few slides to get to that point, and then I'll stop there. I don't want to go past the allotted time. And again, you can see that's the sex partner univariate. And I think we're just about there. One more time. And there we go. So if you looked at the bottom of this slide, you can see that that multivariate adjusted odds ratio for subsequent acquisition of an STD drops down to 0.32. if you take a look in the STD and HIV prevention literature and you start to look at effect sizes, you'll see that that 0.32 is an achievement. The program, again, was brief, and I think really it shows promise. And what I learned from doing the study is that we don't need to have the 8, 10, 12-hour lengthy interventions, as long as we're willing to make some compromises with the goals that we want to achieve. Again, here we worked with men who were already using condoms to improve the quality of use. So it's a fairly simple intervention with an effect that may be worthy of some dissemination research at this point.